This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
But all of a sudden, in the lobby of the hotel down there, I had my first temptation to drink since sobering up. And it suddenly dawned upon me that while I had been granted by God a rebirth, it had been the effort to help others that had kept me sober. So I suddenly knew that if I were to stay sober, I needed to find another alcoholic in this town. And we sat there and talked for hours. And right there, the whole character of what I had been doing back home changed. I thought to myself, I need this man as much as he needs me. And I so told him. Well, Dr. Bob in spiritual matters was far advanced on me. But as far as the drinking was concerned, it hadn't taken hold. Yet as a doctor, like so many, he had no idea that he was a sick man. And I acquainted him with that.
In June 1935, a recovering alcoholic named Bill Wilson found himself in Akron, Ohio, tempted after a business failure to again take a drink in the bar in his hotel. Instead, Bill W., as he became known, searched for another alcoholic to speak to and met Dr. Bob S. The two went on to become co-founders of what is known as Alcoholics Anonymous, the first 12-step program and a revolutionary treatment for a malady that had seemed incurable. June 10th, 2010 marks the 75th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're joined in the studio by Debbie and Clifford, who are involved with AA activities on Vancouver Island. Welcome to People First Radio. This is a significant milestone for Alcoholics Anonymous, an international movement with humble origins. Tell us more about the founders of AA.
Well, Bill Wilson was a stockbroker who fell into alcoholism in such a bad way that he ended up in sanitariums from time to time. What happened was he had a friend of his who had found an answer to his alcoholism and came and told Bill W. about it and suggested that Bill should check out the Oxford group and he might find sobriety there. The neat part about this was that Ebby T., who came to visit him, was sober. So that was Bill W.'s first beginning.
Debbie, what kind of structure is behind Alcoholics Anonymous?
It's a pretty simple program of just one alcoholic trying to keep another alcoholic sober. It's a program of attraction, not promotion. We try to stay sober one day at a time. It's a fellowship of men and women who share their experiences in hopes that they can keep the other person sober. In Nanaimo, we have about 8 meetings a day. We have a central office, which just organizes the events, keeps everybody in tune. We have one paid employee, and everything else is by volunteer.
How does the organization function as a whole? Obviously, Debbie's talking about the Nanaimo area. The Alcoholics Anonymous is a larger organization than a Nanaimo-based organization.
Yes, it is. One of the neat things about Alcoholics Anonymous is it is designed as in a business structure or whatever as an upside-down triangle. In most organizations, you have the president telling everybody down below what to do, but in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's an upside-down triangle where all the groups are telling our general service office in New York what to do in simple terms.
Mm-hmm. How does that work in practice?
Okay, each group has one voice. And we meet at the district level. Nanaimo has 2 districts, and we have a meeting once a month. And what happens is quarterly, 4 times a year, we will meet as the area, which is the BC and Yukon area, to do the business of AA. And then once a year, out of this group of people, we pick one New York delegate, of which in North America there are 93 New York delegates that meet once a year for one whole week to do the business of AA in a, I'm not sure the right word is, but policy, mm-hmm. to provide policy for Alcoholics Anonymous in whatever direction we're going to go.
How has AA survived for so long?
One day at a time. I guess the primary purpose of AA is to keep is to stay sober, and I think it survived because people want it to survive, and people are willing to spend their time and energy to help other people. And as I said before, it's a very simple program, but for very complicated people.
Given that it's filled with people who are, in many cases, emerging from lives or relationships that have been destroyed by alcoholism, mm-hmm. where does the unity come from?
Actually, the continuity comes from, in the very intro, you had Bill W. He couldn't stay sober himself unless he was helping other people. It's like a lake. If you have nothing flowing into the lake and nothing flowing out of the lake, you have a dead lake. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, how we stay sober is by helping other people stay sober. It's a free program. There's no cost, no obligation. You're free to come and go as you please. But we stay sober by helping other people stay sober. It's kind of strange because we think, oh, my goodness, if I give you something, I want something in return. But in AA, we don't want anything in return except hopefully your own personal well-being. And that's the neat part about AA is that the gift is in the giving. And that's how we have managed to keep growing or stay around is we didn't keep it. If you keep it, you're going to lose it.
Debbie, you mentioned one day at a time, and that is a common phrase that's used in Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you just briefly elaborate on the concept of one day at a time and what does it mean?
I think it was started that everybody can stay sober for a few minutes, and so the few minutes became a few hours, and then it became 24 hours. And if I can stay sober for one 24 hours, maybe I can stay sober for another 24 hours, and then it just keeps progressing from that.
This is People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Ashta today. Alcoholics Anonymous marks its 75th anniversary on June the 10th, 2010. The world's first 12-step program emerged from early meetings among several recovering alcoholics, including Bill W. and Dr. Bob S., who are considered to be the co-founders of AA. We're speaking with Debbie and Clifford, who are involved with Alcoholics Anonymous on Vancouver Island. Now, the recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous has been described as spiritual in nature, and early contributors included the influential thinker and founder of analytical psychology, Dr. Carl Jung. Here's commentary from a 1970s-era film describing Jung's influence on Alcoholics Anonymous.
The patients who came to consult Jung at his house in Küsnacht varied widely, from American heiresses and the German writer Hermann Hesse, to the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. The official history of Alcoholics Anonymous traces the group's origins to Jung's diagnosis of the incurable alcoholic known only as Roland H.
His craving for alcohol was the equivalent on a low level of the spiritual thirst of our being for wholeness, expressed in medieval language, the union with God.
When Roland H. first arrived in his consulting room, Jung told him that unless he could find a way to a religious or spiritual experience, his addiction was incurable.
You see, alcohol in Latin is spiritus, and you use the same word for the highest religious experience as well as for the most depraving poison. The helpful formula, therefore, is spiritus contra spiritum.
Debbie, tell us more about the recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous. How does it work?
Well, I can give you the responsibility pledge, which I think kind of tells what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. And it's when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to be there, and for that I am always responsible. So I think that kind of explains what AA is about to me.
What is the difference between spiritual and religious? Why is it described as spiritual?
We are not a religious program. We
are a fellowship, not religious fellowship. I think people often feel that AA is a religion, maybe like an organized type of religion, which it's not. It's people come and they have what they refer to as a spiritual awakening, which I think they just realize maybe I am responsible for part of my problem. And so, you know, that's how I see it. I mean, I think that spirituality has so many different connotations, and it's really hard in this space to explain exactly what it means. But it's not religion like what we would think of an organized thing with an iconic god at the top or anything like that. It's whatever you want to make of it. That's what it is.
So that's the concept then of a higher power. You're saying whatever you want to make of it. Can you comment more about the concept of a higher power? My notion is that that may be a tripping point for some people when they're trying to understand what this program is about.
What we find in AA lots of times is that coming into the room with other sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, they are a power greater than myself. In AA, we don't profess that you have to believe in anything. We have atheists and agnostics in Alcoholics Anonymous. The whole purpose is those for you to find a power greater than yourself. And your lead-in from Carl Jung was this Roland H. fellow had gone to him, and for a whole year he'd gone to him, and on his way home he stopped in Paris and somebody asked him the wrong question. That is, would you like a drink? And for an alcoholic, that's normal. So when he went back to Carl Jung, Carl Jung said the only thing you can do was he had heard that some people have had they called it a religious or a spiritual experience. That was the only possible thing that might help him get or stay sober. And that's the message that got passed along to Bill W. from Ebby, was the fact that, you know, when they were in the hospital room or whatever, Ebby was talking to Bill W., and Bill W. didn't want to have anything to do with this religious stuff. He just didn't want to. And so Ebby said, well, why don't you try a power greater than yourself that maybe you can accept, that you can understand? So the thing about AA is it allows anybody in at any place in whatever spiritual or religious context they're in. So.
And you can, your God can be whatever you want your God or your higher power to be. For me, it's my group.
And so if you came from an organized religion, if you were a religious person, your higher power could be that higher power that you are familiar with in your own religion.
Certainly, of course.
Well, we have just a moment left. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Just the number of ways you can contact Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is in New York, we have AA.org. We have the Grapevine, which is AA's meeting in print. It's aagrapevine.org. It's a nominal fee to access that, and they have excellent stories about people getting sober from all different walks of life, right across the spectrum from left to right, spiritual and non-spiritual.
I'd like to mention that AA in Nanaimo has a website, which is nanaimoaa.org. There's links, several links to other AA things that you might need to know, and there's meeting lists of anybody who might like to try out a meeting. It's all there.
Thanks for taking the time to join us today, and maybe we can do this again next year on the 76th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous, one day at a time. In the meantime, thanks again. Debbie and Clifford are involved in Alcoholics Anonymous activities on Vancouver Island. For more information about Alcoholics Anonymous in the Mid-Island region, go to nanaimoaa.org. You can also find the official website of Alcoholics Anonymous at aa.org.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM. CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.